medium, ghetto, intelligent, her conversation, so won't you come hang with the gang? Relatable topics from coming up broke to the nonsense, they all come along with these dames. From trust funds to trapping, we cover it all in with laughter, so won't you come grab you a seat? From Oso Othello, you know that we medium, ghetto, and nothing can even compete. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, welcome to the Medium Ghetto Podcast with your host, Jamar. Today we got special guests. Introduce yourself.
I'm your best friend in beauty, Aquia Robinson. Thank you for having me.
And you know what I asked her a couple days ago? I asked her, do you consider yourself a career woman?
Oh my gosh. And I said no.
And why?
Because when I think about career woman, I'd be thinking about like corporate. Like people who are lawyers, you know, doctors, accountants, like that sort of thing. I didn't really consider myself a career woman, but you told me that I was, so.
I believe it. You seem serious in these parts.
You said what?
You seem serious about what you're doing. You got a mission, you got a passion, you can see it.
Yeah.
And like, so you have a podcast called Friends in Beauty, right? Best, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how you're our best friend in beauty.
Yes, I'm your best friend in beauty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I see you popping out there, emerging business. What is your business, by the way? So I did check your website out. You were selling like makeup and skincare.
So I am a makeup artist. I have been a makeup artist for almost 11 years, which is crazy. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but I've been a makeup artist for 11 years. I went into education as well. So I used to teach like my own classes, and I was also teaching at a cosmetology school here in DC. That's where I'm from. Shout out to all the people from DC. So I was teaching at a cosmetology school here in DC before the pandemic hit. And then once that happened, it just never, you know, picked back up. And I actually have not done a class, like a makeup class since then. I did like 101 stuff during the pandemic, mm-hmm. Virtual and some in person, but yeah, I'm a makeup artist first. Been podcasting for 3 years.
For 3 years. So you fresh on the podcast scene?
Fresh.
So you're my elder in podcasting. So I'm like 4 months in.
Okay. I love it.
4 months in. But so what sparked beauty? Like what sparked it?
I always tell people what sparked it was the first recession that we went through, at least like in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. So like 2008, 2009. is when I graduated from college. I have an IT degree, but no one was hiring at that time. Mm-hmm. So I worked just like all types of jobs, like nothing special, just to keep money in my pocket. And I don't like working for people. Like, I just don't. So I got to a point where I was like, you know, what can I do to make money that I like? And mm-hmm. at that time, I'm in like my late 20s by now. And starting to like, you know, play with makeup and stuff on myself. And I was like, you know what, maybe I'll try makeup. And I went to makeup school, like a 6-week program here. And then I always say the rest is history in the making, because I'm still like, you know, moving and shaking out in these streets. But I've been able to do a lot of great things.
That's what's up. I like that you. So do you believe you have is that like your passion for life, makeup? Do you believe you have a passion or a calling, or what do you believe? Do you have to have a passion and calling?
I feel like my passion and calling is to help people, but like to help people and support people, connect people. But like the medium is like through makeup and through beauty.
Okay.
So I feel like I could be placed in any situation and do that. But it just so happened that mine's came through like the beauty industry.
How do you know? How did you know you was hot with beauty? Like with makeup? Like what made you say, yo, this is a thing. I could do this. Because many things we've tried, we're like, yo, we can't do this.
I mean, what makes you think you hot? I guess when you start seeing like the transformation be consistent. Because like mm-hmm. when you first start doing makeup, like it might be hit or miss. Like 1 minute, you're like, oh yeah, I really did that. Like I did that face. And then the next minute, you're like, not so confident. But once you get in that rhythm and like everything starts to look consistent, you start to have kind of like a signature look. People can look and know that like that's your work, and people start complimenting you. And then actually when you know you hot, people start asking you to teach them, because that's what happened to me. Like I was not interested in teaching at all. And this girl, Ashley, I will never forget, Ashley in artistry. She's still out here doing lashes and makeup. But she reached out to me for a one-on-one lesson. And I was like, I don't teach. And she literally would not get off the phone until I said like, yes. So she was like the very first person that I had like a one-on-one lesson with. I was like, people want me to teach them how to do this. Like, this is like interesting. But that's how you know you hot. When people start asking.
Did you have like doubts? Is that why you didn't want to teach?
I just never even thought about it. Like, because the time that she asked me, I feel like I was only a year or so into my craft. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I was doing it for that long. So for me, I was just like, I'm still new. I'm still learning myself. So how she want me to teach her? But from what I know now, it's like, all you have to do is know a little bit more than somebody. Like, you ain't got to know, like, they could be at point A, you could be at point C and D. Just as long mm-hmm. as you know a little bit more than them, you can always teach them something. So that's what I'm seeing now. Because I was like, girl, no, I don't teach. And she's like, but I want you. I was trying to recommend other people. No, I want to know how you do it. I'm like, oh, my God, girl. All right, shoot. So, yeah.
That's dope. So mm-hmm. you became teaching.
And then teacher. I realized I loved it. You know what I'm saying? It's like those moments when you get pushed into something. Even the very mm-hmm. first like official makeup class that I did, I had like 30 people there. It sold out. Like mm-hmm. I was like pressed. 30 people sold out. Okay. But even I got pushed into doing that. Like I didn't really see myself as a teacher until that moment when I did my first class. I was like, oh, wow. I'm actually like teaching. They understand what I'm saying. They want more. They want to continue to learn more from. It was like very, very interesting. So I was like, I think that was the moment I realized I could teach.
So you went from IT. It was just like whatever job I get to beauty. And like, I think beauty is more of like an art. Mm-hmm. And you went from IT. Like what made you do IT if you had like that artistic talent this whole time?
I mean, I've always been kind of like into computers and stuff, like since mm-hmm. I was younger. Like I actually wanted to be a hairstylist when I graduated from high school, but I graduated when I was 17. So everybody was like, no, you need a backup plan. It's not as like, I'm not old, but like when I was in high school, that like the beauty industry and stuff wasn't like a big thing. I don't think people could really see the vision for like, girl, you just go do hair. Like, no, you still need a backup plan. So I went to college. And I was just there and like, well, what can I major in? So I was in like the business school at first. Like I got an associate's first. And then I was like, well, I might as well take these last few credits for IT because I like computers. So for me doing the podcast, I feel like it's like my IT flex a little bit. Like
you'd be I know this.
Yeah, I could I could do, you know, certain things. So for me, I enjoy like that aspect of it. But I mean, I don't know. That's how it just happened that way.
That's dope. What else was it? You just said something crazy. Oh, you said something real crazy. You said backup plan. So me and you are around the same age, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what I really, you want to know what I think I messed up in, not in life. I don't know. It was like, say, like something that deterred me a little bit longer is right. Having a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you feel like you would be a little bit more farther ahead if you took a leap faster?
Right. You never know. Then it's like, I always think about certain things like that. Well, like, dang, if I didn't go to college, I would have did X, Y, and Z. But then I think about some of like the amazing people that I met in college or some of the experiences I had in college. I'm like, would I have been different, a different person if had I not had those experiences or met those people, you know? So I be thinking about stuff like that sometimes. But because like I said, I want to be a hairstylist. I want to go from high school to cosmetology school, open up a salon. That's what I wanted to do. So, I mean, I still ended up in the beauty industry, but I'm not doing hair. I don't even want to do hair.
Carpal tunnel. My sister used to, can you believe I'm bald now? But could you believe in high school I had long hair, long and flowing hair?
No, I don't believe it. Because the crazy thing, I used to see you without that hat on the whole time. I knew you was bald.
I was bald. I just don't feel like being bald and like, I don't know. I'm not used to it. I haven't fully accepted my baldness.
You got the beard, so it balances it out.
I guess. But what was it? All right. Oh my gosh. So you're a full-time though, beauty. Yes. I must say beauty expert at this point.
Yeah, full-time beauty expert.
And how did you go from, let's say, from, I guess it was part-time at first with a job. How did you make that transition to part-time to full-time?
I mean, because when I started doing makeup, I didn't have like a real job. Like I wasn't like in a corporate career or anything like that. I was a cake decorator at Harris Teeter.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't have like a real job. So I feel like the decision was really easy for me at the time because I was still like living at home at the time too when I first started doing makeup. I was still living at home with my mom and everything. So my expenses wasn't like crazy. I think I had just paid off my car. Yeah, I probably had just paid off my car. So like I didn't really have like a lot of debt or anything like that. And I remember the first summer that like after I started doing makeup and I did prom season. Mm-hmm. And I made like way more in like a week than I did in like a day at Harris Teeter. Something crazy. Like it wasn't even like a crazy amount what we would consider now. But at that time, it was like, this is a no brainer. Like I could just do makeup and make more money. Like, why am I here?
Why are you holding yourself back? And, they just pay you cheap.
Yeah, I kind of been full time for majority of the time. Like every now and then I would get like a part time job just because like, you know, either extra money, like I'm going on a vacation, maybe I need extra money, or just because, like, I just get a job every now and then. But I'm a full-time makeup artist. That's the majority of what I do.
And you're a full-time makeup artist. You're a podcaster. You ain't got no kids, right?
I just got a fur baby.
That's good enough. I think you got a cat.
Yeah, a cat.
Listen, I'll be doing my research.
She's around here somewhere.
And I seen, all right, guys, I'm not stalking her, by the way.
You sure? I'm not stalking.
So I seen a post. It was about you and your family. And I think the paraphrase was like, yo, sometimes you got to make up time for your family. So we're going to talk a little bit about this. Say again?
That's how I wonder what post that was.
Right? I think it was like, was that your little brother or little cousin?
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about.
See? Kind of stalking. But what it reminded me of, it cued me. I was like, I gotta talk to her about this because you're full. And it resonated with me because I was like, damn, I ain't making time for my family. So you guilt tripped me and go see my family, by the way, today.
Yeah, man.
And it made me want to live more in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that was the day was about being pretty much a working woman. And right now, I can see you're really focused. You always got content up. You always got someone to interview. You probably got a ton of clients and a bunch of people who are willing to, you know, wanting you to teach them. Like, how are you making time? What is your work-life balance like?
I feel like I think I do a better job than people may perceive. And probably that I give myself credit for real. I think I could do better with my work-life balance. I think I am getting better as my priorities start to shift as I get older. I feel like when you're younger, it really is like that hustle and like you just got to make money and I'll miss a birthday party or I'll miss a family function. I got clients or, you know, I got money to make. But when you get older and really like mortality starts to really sink in and when you realize like mortality is not about age anymore, like, you got, you know, family members that are younger than you, around the same age as you, you know, people who aren't too old, like what we would consider old, like passing away. You realize like that, like money come and go. Like the time that you have with your loved ones is more important than a client. So for me, the way that I balance things is like literally if I have to hang out with like a family or like family friend or anything, I live by my calendar. Like if it's not on my calendar, like I'm literally going to forget or it's really like kind of loose. It's not that important. But if I schedule time with like a friend to hang out or a family member to hang out, it literally has to go on my calendar so that if somebody does inquire about an appointment, it's like, no, like something is there. Like I can't like move that. So I feel like I do a little bit better. Like my cousin, the post that you're talking about, it sparked me because like his mother is my cousin.
Oh.
So it's my cousin's child and he is 15 now and I haven't seen him in a long time. Like me and his mom hadn't hung out in like a very like long time.
You got some numbers? Got, can you quantify that? What is a long time? Like what?
I don't know. The last time that me and her hung out, it's been a long time. I don't even know. It's been like years, at least like 4 years since we like really like went out and like sat, talked. Like I've seen her because she's my cousin, but we haven't like hung out because we used to be like this, like in college. We went to the same college, so we used to be like, you know, like that.
Tight.
So I used to be over the house all the time, you know, whatever. So when he saw me, he was like, I haven't seen you in so long. He said, I haven't seen you over at the house in so long. Like, why don't you come over sometimes? Like, why don't you come over anymore? And I was like, I really couldn't answer him for real. Other than like, that would be like pathetic. Like, I just been busy. I've been working. Like, and I was like, you know what? I'm a come over more. I promise. Like, and then he plays golf. He plays golf. He's like on the golf team at his high school, and he's like the athletic director for the sports at his high school. So we got to talk about, he's 15. He's very impressive. Okay. He's always been a very impressive child, even as a baby, but he's very smart. Anyways, so we get to talking about golf and everything. He's like, I could teach you how to play golf, because I told him I want to learn how to play, because, you know, I heard a lot of business deals are done on the golf course. And he's like, yeah, and if you're good at golf, then they respect you more. So that was like a Saturday. I saw him that following Monday. I had my first golf lesson, you know. So just trying to, even the younger people as well. Like, if you think back to when you were younger, I'm pretty sure you had some people who were family members or maybe like extended family members that really like poured into you. It just made you feel like special or seen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're making an effort to like even want to engage me and want to hang out with me at my age. So I'm like, you know, support the youth. You know, just be around, make time for them.
So I'm getting from this, do you believe in learning from everybody? You believe you can take a lesson from anybody?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No matter what age, even if you observe babies, you know what I'm saying? Like, even my best friend just had a baby. She's 5 months now. But even from observing babies and like just watching how they're learning new things, like the things that you already know, but just watching them discover life is like, you can learn from anybody.
That's true. That's what my philosophy is. I've never played nobody. I never looked down on anybody. I believe I can take something from each person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not a competition guy. I'm more of a collaboration dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
And, let me see though. Like, all right, so we're work life balance, being lady. What's a week in your life? Cause I see you go out still. You still be in the streets?
I be outside. Okay?
You outside?
Yeah. a typical week. So it definitely it varies, because 1 minute I could just have regular clients. I do work on some local reality shows like Real Housewives of Potomac, and I was working on Love and Marriage DC. So it could, like, depending on what project I'm working on, it could vary. Then I could have podcast interviews, lunch dates, happy hours.
You're working on reality shows too?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, how did that go? Like, how did you get into that? Like,
I give all the praise and glory to God first, and then to the power of networking. That's why I have the networking events that I do, and that's why I push networking. I'm trying to push networking more, because every single opportunity that I have gotten as a makeup artist, as like big, like TV or just certain clients and stuff like that, has come from networking. So just knowing somebody, them recommending me, and then you just keep doing a good job. They want you back. You on speed dial type of thing. Yep.
So do you be hosting your own networking events?
I do. Yep. Friends in Beauty started off as networking events. I started in 2019, did maybe like 5 or 6 events before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And the pandemic sat us down for a little bit. So that's when I pivoted to podcasting, so I could still be able to network, meet people. The Friends in Beauty name wouldn't fizzle and die because I had just started it. So I didn't want to just stop it cold turkey. So I just pivoted to the podcast for the time being, and now we're back to like hosting events regularly.
So, like, what are you posting these on? Like, how are people finding you?
Eventbrite, because I be asking people when they come, because I always get like, I get some of the same people, but lots of new faces every single time. So social media, I don't think I've ever run ads before. So it just be like social media. Maybe I ran ads the first time. I can't even remember. But social media mainly, and if I put the event on Eventbrite, because when people come out, ask them, like, how'd you find out about the event? They'd be like, I saw it on Eventbrite. I'm like, okay, Eventbrite, doing your job. I see you.
Good job.
Yes, I see Eventbrite. So, yeah.
So you don't wait for the opportunities. You create the opportunities with networking.
Oh, yeah. You got to create the opportunities. And I always tell people as well, like, don't think about networking in the formal sense all the time. Like anytime you step out of the door, you could be networking. Like you meet somebody at the grocery store, that's an opportunity to talk to them about something, or a conversation may come up and that connection is made. So it doesn't always have to be like a formal event like that says networking. Like anytime you're in a space with other entrepreneurs or business people, it's an opportunity to share something. So
that's so good. You just sharing. You out here in the grocery store. You out here in the club.
So there have been times before, because, you know, I'm a makeup artist. There have been times before where I might be in the beauty supply store in the lash aisle and someone is looking confused. And like, can you know anything about this? Can you help me? And I'm like, yeah, actually, I'm a makeup artist. And they're like, okay, yeah, great. So, yeah, like, help me choose which lashes. I don't even know what I'm looking at right now. So that's the opportunity to be like, okay, so if you ever need your makeup done one day, like you got any family members, here's my information. You know, it doesn't always have to be like an event.
I see what you're saying. And like, so you make time for your family. You get into realization of mortality. I'm feeling that too. So how has like the priority shifted in like the last like 3 to 5 years?
I would say like the last 3 to 5 years, I feel like the earlier years, like, you know, I was more focused on just like getting stuff done, like getting to the money, having these experiences in the industry. I feel like as I've gotten older, I kind of like slowed down. It's like, I also have mortality, but then I also have the mindset of like, what is the rush? Like, why are we always such in a rush to get to whatever end result that we think is going to satisfy us? When if in like real life, we a lot of us do expect to live very long lives, right? So why are we such in a rush to make things happen? So I also had that mindset as well. So it's just like, things going to happen when they happen. It don't matter how much, you know, grit or whatever I put behind it. It's still going to unfold when it's supposed to unfold. It's kind of like what at the conference when David Shands kind of was like, he said something about the talent, like the talent will come. But when the time is ready, like when the time is then and now, that's when the time is like. But the talent or whatever skills you need, it could come later. But when the time presents itself, it's time to go. So it's like, why rush? Yeah, I've been just trying to take it day by day, Jamar, for real. You get too far ahead of yourself, start feeling anxious, start getting like...
You be on next Saturday.
Huh?
You be ever be on like next Saturday? So you plan out so much in advance. You be like on next Saturday. You think about like, why am I thinking like a week in advance?
No, I don't.
Like, why am I not in the... I be not in the moment.
Only way I'm that far is if I have a client that has requested that far and I have it on my calendar, but I don't be thinking that. Even right, what's next day? I don't even know. Today's a Monday. What's today? What's that? I don't even know what's going on Saturday. I got to look at my calendar.
So what are your top five, let's say top three priorities and why? Like right now.
As far as what? Just life, business?
Just life. Like business, family, relationship, dating, health. Like,
I would say mental health, not like any particular order. You said top five.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head, I would definitely say mental health is a top priority. Physical health, financial is very important to me. Like personal life and everything that comes with that, like family, friends, and like spiritual. Cause I was about to say dating, but like, I already told you, like, I'm not.
I won't lie, I'm dried out, but
I'm not even focused on that right now.
Yeah, so what spiritual challenges are you facing though? In this busy world, like, are you facing any spiritual challenges?
I mean, I think we all struggle with faith every now and then. And then something comes along and shows us like, you was tripping. It's like, it happened anyway. So I think just as an entrepreneur, sometimes like that's with the spiritual side, it's just the keeping the faith. And keeping the faith. That's all I can really say. Is like, you know that certain things you want to happen, but like I said, it's a matter of when.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't never really know the when. So it's like, okay, how long do I have to keep this up until, like, I know it's coming, but like, come on. So keeping that faith and like seeing out your goals and aspirations all the way through could be a little tricky sometimes, but there's always proof of when, you know, you might have doubted something before and then voila, it magically happened when you least expected it. So it's, that's kind of what keeps me going at least. It's like, I've been here before in several aspects of my life where, you know, you think things aren't going to unfold, but it does. So you just keep on pushing.
All right, but so like what is a time where you question your faith? You got a story?
I mean, I feel like anytime that I have an event, I question my faith. Because you know, you be like, are people gonna sign up? So that's why like even this year, at the top of the year, I started doing like events again. I was doing like free events because it gave me less anxiety thinking about, because there's a lot that goes into doing events that people don't really realize, like behind the scenes. So doing the free events allowed me to just be able to show up for my people without having the overhead swirling over my head. You know what I'm saying? Like, am I going to sell enough tickets to be able to pay for the venue, to pay for this experience, to pay for, you know, whatever experience I want them to have? And then I'm not breaking even, you know what I'm saying? So I was doing free events so I can get rid of that, you know. So yeah, doing events, you'd be like, dang, people gonna show up. Even though they bought tickets, you'd be like still waiting on that first person to walk through.
Oh yeah, you'd be doubting it. They'd be like, oh, they're 5 minutes late. Yeah, out of nowhere. Everyone comes out of nowhere and you still feel that relief. So you exactly. Still get like the butterflies.
Exactly. I do. Not so much anymore. I used to have like these conversations with myself, like before events, like I will start promoting like a month and a half in, you know, in advance or something. And then I'll get like 2 weeks out and I'll have this realization like, you about to host an event? Like people are really coming somewhere because you invited them. Who do you think you are? Like type of thoughts, like probably like imposter syndrome. Like who are you to host an event? You know what I'm saying? I would have those kind of thoughts, but then I'm like, first of all, I'm that girl.
So you don't think, I think many times like people think they're coming for you, but really they're really coming for them. Cause your event is what they've asked for this whole time. Oh, and they've been waiting for someone to throw it.
Exactly. And that's like exactly the responses that I get when people come. It's like, you know, I really needed this kind of space, you know, because like I feel like the events are also an extension of me. I'm very laid back. So and also I'm laid back, but I like to have a good time. So it's like my events, when you come, you kind of forget that you're networking. You're just there with a whole bunch of cool people having a good time. It's music, it's food, it's drinks. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's a good time. To get you networking, y'all should come out to a Friends and Beauty event one day.
I'm interested. I'll definitely come. Yeah. I'll be watching. I'll be like, yo, that's dope. Like, I wish. What is the vibe in Washington? Is that like the vibe in Washington D.C.? Like more like weekend events and stuff like that.
There's stuff going on all the time, just because of the city that we're in. So it could be anything going on at any given time. Summertime, I enjoy summertime a lot more. But because it's like a political city, you know, it's always some kind of happy hour or it's like business people here, too. So it's always some kind of political or some kind of entrepreneur happy hour going on somewhere. But mine just happened to be specific to the beauty industry. But I still get other people who come out, too. But the vibe is cool. Like brunch, you know, brunch spots and stuff, happy hours.
I always hear like the good parts about like Washington, D.C. Have you ever lived in the hood?
I didn't live in the hood. Look, I know I lived up the street from the hood. I was like two blocks from the hood. You know what I'm saying? Like in the hood, you know, like, no.
I know what you mean. Like you was up the hill and the guy and like I still the
valley. Shots, you know what I'm saying? And the ambulances, but I wasn't like on the scene.
You were just peeking to the side. Was like, nah, y'all good down there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you was raised in like a two-parent household or?
I was raised in a single-parent household, raised by my mom. And I have an older sister that I was raised with as well. And then lots of siblings on my father's side.
That sounds Jamaican to me. I don't do no stereotypes.
I'm saying, hey, Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Definitely was. I was like, oh my God. Actually, I'm the youngest, and I'm the only child of my father's.
Okay. So he was like one and done. That's all.
One and done.
He had a boy, he was done.
He was like, I'm gone. I was like, damn, Pops. But you ever realize how much you like your parents without trying to be like your parents?
How much I like them?
How much you are like your parents without trying to be like your parents?
I've realized that with my mom lately, like it's certain things that I say, or I said something to one of my friends one day. She was like, your mom just told me that yesterday. And I was like, oh my God, that'd be sounding like my mother.
See? Like, it's like really wild. Like, so my dad wasn't really in my life, right? But every time I see him, he pop up. Like, he's that random dude. Like, every time when I went to the military, went to Marines, passed everything, he was at, like, my graduation party. And, like, other life events, and me and him are, like, the same person, but it's kind of creepy because we don't even spend any time together.
That's interesting. You just naturally, you know, inherit these things.
Yeah, man. And he, very nonchalant. He calls me at 4 a.m. and asks me if I'm working yet.
4 a.m. Boy.
Yeah, he's that boy. I was like, yo, I got 9 to 5.
You're not getting no, So my phone is on silent when I sleep now.
Yeah.
That thing is on silent. I'm like, low key, I'll be like, dang, I hope it's like not an emergency that happens with people trying to get in contact with me. But it's also like.
You want to got the ring twice on, right? You got the ring twice on? So it goes through with the ring twice?
No, it's on silent. Oh,
you block.
I don't even know how to do that. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, like, so if you, if they call you twice, it must be emergency. So they'll go past or bypass it. Guys, do not use that against me. So if you're listening to this, do not call me twice.
You heard it on the Medium Ghetto podcast.
So, like, you got a community podcast too. I got a community podcast. That is dope. So your main goal is to create more friends in beauty, right?
Yep, globally.
And yeah, globally. So what is that? Are you going to ever write books? Are you going to have conferences? Are you going to have like different, like create your own product courses? Cause I know many women get into beauty.
I like that.
But they just don't have the steps. Are you going to do a manufacturing
in
like the United States?
You just gave me like a bomb idea, because create your own product course. Like, I don't have the necessary. This is the thing about me with friends and beauty is like, yes, I plan to do all of those things. So in my big brain, I have a vision of a conference. I have a vision of a big community, you know, globally incorporating education and everything like that. But what I'm realizing, like, I always tell people, I don't lack ideas. Sometimes I lack the execution of it. But what I'm realizing as well is that I need to be more resourceful in tapping into my community and my resources. So even just the idea that you had about whatever, create your own product. In my, like, the way that I used to think, I would be like, dang, now how am I going to come up with the information to teach this? I've never really created a product, or I don't really plan on doing that for real right now. But, like, I wouldn't be able to teach that, but I have people in my community through the podcast who have come on who are, you know, product developers, who have brands, who know how to, you know, get vendors, people who do the marketing for those, you know, brands to get them into the stores. Like, I have those people in my network, so I could possibly put them together to create some kind of thing. So that's where I am with Friends in Beauty. I'm always trying to figure out ways that I could bring people together to create opportunities for them that I don't necessarily have to do myself. Like,
I see what you're saying. You want me to pitch you on something crazy?
What's that?
So I'm so happy. I'm so joyful. People just come up to me and tell me information that I didn't ask for, but it's wealthy information.
Uh-huh.
So you ever been to like the Xfinity Live Centers or the ones in the Power Plant Live in Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland? The Power Plant Live Center in Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually going to be there in November, by the way. No, October for the Taco Fest.
Well, okay.
So I go to the office. I'm the main admin for like the business, right? So I go there, I always talk to office workers. And this lady Danielle, every time she literally talks about her whole family, every time I call her, every problem she's had with every damn vendor, she vents to me in the car. I just called to make sure my permits went through. And we talk. I was like, yo, so how are you getting these event spaces? So what happens is this: if you get an event space, let's say they have a contract with every single Xfinity center in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having events. So if you want a contract for these places, you got to do at least 3 events. And if there's 2 ways, you can either pay in full to rent the spot out for the 8 hours,
uh-huh.
or you can make a contract. And if enough people buy tickets, then they'll just take money out of your ticket sales. So I was suggesting, so they already sell alcohol there. You could really have a Friends and Beauty at the power plant live.
Yes.
And like,
more, they be like, why you don't come to Baltimore? And I'd be like, because I don't really know about Baltimore, but Power Plant Live is a central kind of, you know.
And it's already there, so you don't have to get the liquor sales. And if you want the liquor sales, another thing people don't realize is this. So with alcohol permits, you can actually rent them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can rent an alcohol license. You don't need your own because it costs $250,000, most of them. You can actually get someone else's. Most people actually find a nonprofit who they rent it out from.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. So I'm saying, like, you got, like, let's do a massive, what, $5,000
yeah.
Friends and Beauty conference. And that's what I kind of want to do. That's like my end goal in my community brand.
Conference, award ceremony, gala, yeah. Holiday
party. We're going to do everything. We're going to get lit.
Was lit. The holiday party was lit. So, yeah. It's lots of things. Now I'm doing podcasting, so more live events. It's just so much. It'd be so much to think about sometimes.
Yeah. But I think you got it. You're working hard. I see you out here.
Yes, I'm slowly building up my team, slowly but surely. So.
Bet. Mm-hmm. So what you think is the biggest, going to be the biggest, or is the biggest obstacle in your way right now?
The biggest obstacle in my way right now is probably the way that I perceive business finances.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know that I need to tap into like the business credit and like all of those things. So I think that's the biggest thing. Once I tap into that, like, I'll be good.
It's a wrap.
Yeah, I think it's a wrap.
So like most of the times people think, yo, what business credit is, I only need this much. Like, how much you think number wise would grant you what you need to move your business, like to multiply your income business wise? Have you ever thought about it?
I don't think I ever thought like a specific number. I just be thinking about it in terms of things that I need to invest in or just to execute things, like the way that I want to execute an event or something like that, like the visuals, like to a certain level. I've been thinking about it in terms of that or the type of people that I would want to hire to, you know, do certain things.
So like so you're telling right now, like the income would be, well, the amount of like money you can spend would be like the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much having.
Yeah. Cause in my head, when I do things, I'm always thinking like, how am I going to come up with the money physically? Whereas mm-hmm. if I tapped into the credit side of it, I wouldn't really have to like, think about that at that moment, you know,
I see what you're saying.
To be able to just do it. Like I would be able to tap into the credit to just get it done, like, you know, charge it and we take care of that later.
So let's say you took out $10,000, you think you can make the 30 back within 30 days?
I don't know. It depends. I need a strategy. If I had a bomb plan or strategy to do it, like I don't doubt that I could do that. It's all about having a plan. And I feel like even to do that, you still need money. Like you still going to need ad dollars and, you know, certain specialists to really execute to a certain level. Like I can't do everything by myself. So I would still need to hire a team in order to do, I feel like, those type of numbers.
Do those type of numbers. So with that, you would need money for the team too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let me see, like, all right. So I'm guessing like what, 50K?
I mean, I might be able to, I could mix up this shake with 50K. The thing is like, even if you gave me 20K, you know, you could find people within that budget.
I see what you're saying. We could Fiverr it too. I'm letting you know, Fiverr it.
Upwork it. Just need a little like with Fiverr, because I just got some stuff done on Fiverr like the first time, like fully went through with the order and stuff like that. And I was like getting a little, not frustrated, but I was like, do these people really speak English like they say they speak English? Because I feel like I'm explaining this and you're doing something totally different. Like, I was starting to get a little nervous. Like, do I have to ask for a refund? Because they're not going to be able to execute what I'm asking for. But it came out good. So I think I'm a Fiverr believer now.
You're fine. It took a minute. I would never do voiceovers again. I think I got them to do voiceovers, and I just really just I paid some a different actor.
Oh, okay.
Who sounded American? So you're right. Some of them are definitely out the country.
Yeah,
the cheaper ones, especially. I'm just saying, like, I'm not trying to get canceled, but
it's what it is. I mean,
it's what it is. You know, my people like that.
Yeah.
But we're going to close this soon. But I want give me life advice if I was. If I was you a decade ago, if I was someone just like you a decade ago, what would you tell me?
A decade ago. That's the crazy thing, because I'd be telling people, like, I don't even really recognize myself anymore, like, because I've been doing makeup for a decade. So it's like the person that I was when I first started is like, I'm still the same person at the core, but like just, I would just say the word that just came to my head was boundaries. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Like, for some reason, maybe I should speak on boundaries. Just setting boundaries earlier. I think that if you're just starting off in business and you set the boundaries that you want to have for how you want your life to like unfold or how you want to operate your life, it will be a lot easier to fall into that once you start getting like really busy. And I feel like that's what I'm kind of like struggling with now, is like putting the boundaries in place for how I want my life to operate, you know what I'm saying, going forward, mm-hmm. even though I'm not there yet. So even though, because I know I'm not trying to be the person that just works. So sometimes I feel like I still need to work, but I'm like, no, you did enough today. Like, close down the computer. You know, you can pick it up tomorrow. I'm not trying to be that person burning the midnight oil. That's never been my thing. So I'm trying to live that way now. Mm-hmm. So I would say 10 years ago, if I would tell myself something, it would be like to set boundaries early. Set boundaries for how you want to communicate with people or how you want people to communicate with you. Set boundaries for like your business hours, because like as a creative, we don't necessarily have a 9-to-5. So for me now, unless you're going to pay extra coins, I don't take clients before 8:00 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? But when you first starting off, you anxious, you'll get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning for a 6 o'clock client or 5 o'clock client.
I'll drive right to you.
Yeah. You'd be like, yes, I'm going to get this money. You know what I'm saying? But like, I'm a little older now. So I'm like, if you come to me, I could do you at 5 o'clock in the morning. I wake up and roll out of bed. But like for me to drive and like, you know, so set boundaries for however you want your life to be in the future. Like set them early so you can start practicing and like be in it. So that when you do get to that point, it won't be hard to transition and like start to enforce things and like, you know, prioritizing time and all that stuff. Yeah.
Bet. That was definitely bars. I'm just bars. And you just taught me a little something too.
Thank
about
you.
Asking better questions. So with that, I really appreciate everyone that who listened. Please subscribe on YouTube. Please check me out on everything that's a podcast to listen to. I'm on every single platform, but Audible. If you want me on Audible, let me know. New book, working on a new book now. So
books, yes, about books, yes, all the things.
So yeah, I'm actually suck at typing, so I've been speaking using Speak. In my mic to speak my book. Yep.
Yeah.
But with that being said, how can we find you? Where can we find you at?
Yes. So I am on all social media platforms at Akuia Robinson. My first name is spelled AKUA. Last name is Robinson. And then I'm also at Friends in Beauty. Okay. So if you go to either page, you can find me or you can find Friends in Beauty. Also, please subscribe to Friends in Beauty on YouTube. That is where I house the interviews for the Friends of Beauty podcast. And you can listen to, you know, the podcast on all major platforms like Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, you know, things like that. But subscribe on YouTube, y'all. Try to get my subscribers up. Also do vlogs and other content on there as well. So just stay connected. Tap in. If you're in the DC area, come out to an event. And I do plan on traveling soon. So just follow us to stay tuned. We might pop up in your city one day.
Bet. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Peace out, y'all.
Medium ghetto when we think you watching for listening, viewing and tuning on in. Joining the left of the facts and for summers to cap. We can't wait till we do it again. You know we love you and we gonna see you next time again. Thank you for joining the gang. If they ask about us, don't fret. Just tell them we medium ghetto. It's all in the name. Yeah.